Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bava Metzia Tzadi Tes. We are holding right on top the first line in the Gemara, which follows the Mishnah. Where we learned that if a fellow borrowing, let's say, an animal, right, tells the owner, send the animal to me by way of your eved. Okay, so I'm authorizing that transfer by way of your eved. The Mishnah says that the fellow who borrowed, who instructed that the item be sent in this manner, assumes responsibility from this moment onward, because he authorized that transfer via that agent. B'yad Abdul Chayev, says the Gemara. How can that be? If the owner sent his item with his own slave, with his own servant. True, it was by way of instruction from the borrower. But the fact is, the item is sitting in my servant's possession. How could the borrower assume responsibility? Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi. The hand of the Eved is tantamount to the hand, to the possession. He doesn't have his own independent entity, his own independent ability to possess. Whatever he has is considered still sitting in his owner's possession. So as Rashi says, it never left the owner's hands. Harei lo yotzes mirshus mashil. Varehu kilu halicha lehu. It's as though the owner is still holding on to the item, never let go of the item. Amar Shmuel Bevet Ivri. So one teretz in the name of Shmuel is that we're not speaking about an Eved Kenani, non-Jewish slave. Rather, it's an Eved Ivri, a Yiddish slave. So the Leikonale Gufa, in this case, there is no kinyan on the Gufa of the Eved. So although the Eved is meant to serve his master, but he still has his own independent identity. In which case, something which is given to the Eved is considered to have left the Rishus, the possession of his master. So we can now understand why the Shimon, the borrower, assumes responsibility, because it's been handed over to a fellow who is holding it on his behalf, right? Rav Omar, Rav says, no, afilu tem bevet kanani. It can be speaking even by a regular Eved Kanani, who's considered a possession of his master. But the answer is like this. Nasa ka'emer le. It's as though Shimon instructed the owner, Reuven, as follows. Ikisha b'machil v'tava. Don't bother delivering the animal. You know, let's save on delivery expenses. Just strike it with a machil, with a stick, and he'll make his way over to my property. So we treat it as though. He didn't actually say it. It's as though he said it. Meaning when Shimon proposes that Reuven send the animal with the Eved, what he's really saying is, look, as soon as you let go of it, I'm looking after it. Rashi says he was Mishabed Nafsha, he committed himself to be responsible from now on. Okay, so even though technically the Eved is still sitting halachically in the hands of the owner because the Eved is like, but the fact is, Shimon asked, Shimon requested that it be done this way, and he's assuming responsibility even before it gets to his domain, even before he takes physical possession or halachic possession over this item. So again, even though it's sitting in the hands of the Eved, which technically is still linked to the owner, it has not yet entered the Rishus of Shimon, it doesn't matter, because Shimon is taking responsibility from this moment forward. Meisve, here comes Akasha. We have a braisa, Hashayla Sapara, right? You borrow an animal. V'shulchaloi, biad bnoi, biad shluchoi, chayev. And the fellow who borrowed asked the owner to send it, right? Send it along with the son, right? Where the son, with the shliach. So, if he did so, then the Shimon is chayev. If anything happens en route, biad abdoi patur. So even if Shimon asked that the item be sent with Reuven's Eved over to Shimon, if something happens en route, he's patur. which is in direct contradiction to our Mishnah, which says that if he did it by way of instruction, if he was told to do it this way, then the Shimon is chayv for anything that happens. So now, Mishnah b'le Shmuel. So remember, we have two ways to understand the Mishnah. We have Shmuel's pshat, right? Depends whether it's an Eved Ivri, who has his own independent, you know, identity, or it's an Eved Kanani, who's still connected to his owner. So, according to Shmuel, we have a simple answer. Masnis in the Mishnah, which says that the item is considered under the borrower's auspices once it gets to the hands of Reuven's Eved, Be'Eved Ivri. Speaking about a Jewish slave. Brisa Be'Eved Kanani. The Brisa is speaking about an Eved Kanani, who's part and parcel of Reuven's, you know, estate, so to speak. And even if Shimon asked, it'd be done this way, it doesn't matter. It's still connected to Reuven and never left his possession. And therefore, Shimon is not chayiv for oynes. That happens. Elul Rav Kashi. So that's perfect according to Shmuel. But according to Rav, once Shimon requests that it be sent through an Eved, it's as though he said, look, let go of it and I'm taking responsibility. So why is the Mishnah say he's chayiv v'achrayis, and the Brisa says he's pato? Amalach Rav, lo yitema nasa kamerle. Let's revise a bit. It's not like we are interpreting it as though he said it. The Mishnah is speaking that he actually told him to do so. He says, look, don't bother delivering it. Just, you know, strike it and let it come. And he decided to give it to the Eved. This doesn't change matters. Once Shimon authorized this method of delivery, he is assuming responsibility from that moment forward. But hit it and it'll come. So that's the case of the Mishnah. In the Brisa, he didn't say so. So until he actually gets it, he's not chayiv b'achrayis. The Itmar, as we have learned, the following halacha, hashileni parascha, can you loan me your cow? V'amrle v'yadmi, the owner says, how do which delivery method should I use? V'amrle, he says, skip the delivery. Hikisha b'makal v'tavai. Just hit it, you know, and he knows his way over to my house. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Barabo, Amar Rav. He quotes Rav, right? Since he asked, it be done this way. Once it leaves the house of the owner, even though it's in no man's land, so to speak, but since Shimon asked that it be done this way, he assumed responsibility. If it dies, it's chayiv. Name say LA, perhaps we can prove this point from the following brisa as well. Hashileni parascha, right? Loan me your parav. Amrli biadmi. He says, how should I send it? Amrli kisho b'makal v'tava. Just hit it and let it come. Kivan sheyatzas mishus mashal umesachayv. Once it leaves the property of the owner, right? We're assuming it's now more the road, but it's en route to the chayev. So the Shimon is chayev. So it's a ride to Rav that Shimon assumes responsibility, even though he didn't, you know, actually take physical possession of the animal. Omar of Ashi, no, there's no raya from here, because perhaps we're speaking about a specific situation. Hachamai Skino was speaking of Shoisa Chatzeru Shal Shoyel Lefnim Chatzeru Shal Mashal. These people, Reuven and Shimon, were next door neighbors. And Shimon, the borrower's property, was inside, so to speak, Reuven's property. So basically, you have a street. And Reuven's property meets the street. And if you go deeper into Reuven's property, you go from there into Shimon's property, which is situated behind Reuven's property. So in this case, certainly Shimon assumes responsibility, because look, as soon as Reuven turns his animal facing Shimon's property and says, giddy up, go, and he's, you know, it's starting to go, he's assuming that it's going to end up in his property. Right? So there he's mishabed himself, he's committing himself to look after the animal. The Gemara continues. Because in this case, when Reuven roots the animal that way, it's certain that it's going to go there. So he's assuming responsibility, as opposed to just a standard case where Reuven lives here and Shimon lives down the block. So perhaps there it's different. Even though Shimon asked that it be sent his way, and Reuven did so, who says it's going to end up in Shimon's? Maybe it's going to make a wrong turn down the other side of the street. So there, who says it's really a true commitment? Maybe he's just saying, send it, but he's not really right? Doesn't really mean it that, you know, to the extent that he's taking responsibility. Okay, so our case in the Braisa, speaking about a very specific case where they're living, you know, next door, then what's the point of discussing it? I mean, it's pretty obvious if it's right here and I'm sending it, you're chai b'achrayis. The answer is like this. It's speaking the ikel gezyaisa. It's not really a straightforward route. There are some little corners and nooks and crannies where the animal can hide and disappear. Perhaps I would think that perhaps Shimon isn't fully reliant that it's going to really get to his place. Maybe the animal will get stuck over there in one of those hideouts. I'll never get to my property. It's not going to go straight forward to my place. So he's sort of wavering on his, you know, Kamashma, the answer is the Samchadaita. No, he is fully reliant on the fact that, you know, if the animal is heading to his direction, it's going to get there and he's taking achrayus. Okay, so in summation, the mission says when you send the animal by way of your Eved, then the other fellow who asked to be done this way is Chayev. The question is, an Eved is not really his own, doesn't have his own you know, ability to possess and to be kinder, and basically his hand is my hand. So why is it considered to have left my domain? So Shmuel says, we're speaking about Eved Ivri. Rav says, you don't need that. Even if it's an Eved Kanani, the fact that the other fellow asked that it be sent this way, he's assuming responsibility. Amar Afuna, Hashayel Kardoy Mechaveri. If a fellow borrows an axe, okay, Boka boy, if he actually used it, right, Kale, then he assumes a kinyan on that item. We'll see in a minute pertaining to what. Okay, so if he chopped with it, it's now under his care. Loy Boka boy, Loy Kale, but if he didn't yet use it, then it was not Kaina the item. Lamai. Kaina pertaining to what? Ilayim ala oinsin, to assume responsibility as a shoyel, right? Even for oinus. And you're telling me that that only gets triggered when he actually starts using it. So basically, taking the item isn't sufficient to trigger this level of responsibility to consider him a shoyel. Only once he uses it does he assume that status. Really? Maishna para. Why is it different than an animal? The mish as shayla. As soon as you know, pick up the animal, as soon as you take it into your Eshoyel, you don't need to actually use it. Says the Gemara, you're right, you're 100% right. Of course, as soon as he, you know, takes it, he's considered Eshoyel, he's Chayiv and Oynes. The point here is a totally different point. Can the owner change his mind, come running and say, well, I need my item back, sorry, I lent it to you, but I really need it back. I can't let you have it for those 30 days that we discussed. El chazor. Oh, does he have a right to recall the item? So that's what it depends on. Baka boy, if Shimon has already begun using it, loimotzi hadabay, the owner cannot recall it. Because now, it's like he made a Kenyan for 30 days. Loimotzi hadabay mashil, right? Loi baka boy. But if he had not yet used the item, Motzi Mashal Hadabai. Interesting. So the owner can now recall the item and take it back. Upligadarab Ami. Says the Gemara that this point is in dispute of Rav Ami, who says like this. The Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami tells us, Hamashal Kardem Shal Hegdash. If a person lends an axe belonging to Hegdash, so he lends it to his friend, he has committed me'ila. He has diverted Hegdash property for private use. And he had benefit from that diversion. Mal. How does he have benefit? I mean, I lent it to you. You used it, not me. Lefi toivas hano shaboy. Because I have some gain. Look, I look like a generous person now, right? You appreciate what I did for you. So, how much would a person be willing to pay for that personal satisfaction, to have people, you know, consider him a generous person, all that. So that amount of hano is what he had from lending it to his friend. And he has committed that much mi'ilah, and that much is what he has to pay to the Beis HaMikdash. Now once mi'ilah has been committed, once the item has been diverted, that's the halacha by mi'ilah. It turns into, it is going forward considered a non-Hegdish entity, which allows the recipient, right, in this case, the fellow who borrowed the item, to actually use it, l'chatchila, no problem, because Mi'ila has already been committed by Reuven. But the question is like this. Has Shimon already used the item? No. So according to Rav Huna's concept that until you actually use it. The deal is not yet binding. I mean, you can just recall the item. So here as well, v'loikonai, and if prior to use, the kinyan has not yet been implemented, meaning I can recall the item, I can ask it back, am I mal? So why have I committed mila, and why can he use it now? Why could he use it? Just take it back quickly before he uses it. Nihadri, just take it back and abort the kinyan and catch it before mila, and you're safe. So clearly, Rab Ami disagrees with Rav Huna. As soon as the fellow took physical possession, before actually using it, he's fully kind of the item. And likewise, Upliga Rab Lazar, this concept of Rav Huna, that until you use it, it's not a done deal, is in disagreement with Rab Lazar. Dam Rab Lazar, Kader Shatiknu Mashicha Be'elekucha, just like the Chachamim, required physical Mashicha, physical possession when it comes to buying something, only that makes a kinyan. Kach Tiknu Mashicha Be'shayim, same thing with Shayim, like a Shayil, until you actually do Mashicha, you haven't really taken responsibility, but once you took Mashicha, took the item to your possession, even before you use it, the process has already concluded. Tani Nami Hachi, we find the same in the Braisa, a writer, Rabbi Lezer, Kashem Shetiknu Mashicha B'lekuchos, Kach Tiknu Mashicha B'shem. Okay. What else does the Braisa say? The Braisa concludes, Kashem Shekarka Niknis B'kesef U'B'shtar B'chazaka, just like when you buy a piece of property, there are three methods of acquisition: paying for it, receiving a sale document, or doing, you know, something, some physical change, some expression of ownership on the karka. So just like those three methods are applicable to purchase of property, kach sechirus nikne bekesef ubishtar bechazaka. Likewise, when you rent, the Gemara figures at this point we're speaking about renting a car or whatever. So you can do it by one of these three methods. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Schirus my vite. How does rental get into this whole discussion? We're speaking about kalim or items. You can't make a kinyan on these things without mashicha, right? That's the halacha, right? You can't just do. Answers the Gemara, right? So how can you do chazaka without mashicha? Answers the Gemara. Amar of chizas schirus karka. We're speaking about renting property. So in this case, the same methods that apply to acquiring apply to rental as well. Amar Shmuel, Haiman de Gozel, Chavitza de Tamri Mechaver, Chavitza de Tamri, says Rashi, is a glob of dates. And you have 50 dates in this glob. V'izba Chamishim Tamri. Now, as per the value, it goes like this. There are two ways to look at it. Agav hadadi mizdabnan benun nechichada. Theoretically, if somebody would purchase this glob as a bulk deal, he would buy it for 50 minus 1, meaning 49. So wholesale, it's 49. But if you sell it individually, chada chada, if you stand in the store and you sell it one by one, you get an extra dollar for it. Mizdabnan benun. You would get a total of 50. Right? A dollar per date. So the question is, if a person steals this bunch, how much did he steal? How much does he have to repay? 50 or 49? What's the real value? Wholesale or retail? So as the Gemara, it depends who you stole it from. Lehegdish mishalm chamishim nechichada. If you stole it from a private person, 49. Lehegdish, you stole it from Hegdish. We're more strict. Mishalm chamishim, you have to pay the full 50. And of course, you have to add the fifth, v'chamshayu, the fifth, because, that's the halacha. When you eat something of hekdesh, right? Mashenken b'mazik, as opposed to a fellow who destroys, right? That's just a side point. A person destroys hekdesh property or truma, you don't have to pay the fifth. Okay, so it only applies to a person who eats hekdesh material. So bottom line, when it comes to Hegdish, we're more strict than when it comes to a common person. Right? So again, you don't pay the fifth. As we learned, Ish ki yoichal kodesh, when a person eats from Hegdish, right? If you destroy, if you take in that fashion, you eat, you consume, then you have to add the fifth, prat lamazak, as opposed to when you're just destroying and harming. Okay, maskav rav abayu barabai, erakash. How could you say that lahedyot, when you did this to a private individual, you only have to pay back 49. Amay mashalim chamshim nakichada. Why is he getting away with 49? I mean, namely, the owner can say, I would have gotten 50 for it. Ano, chada chadav mizab ninadlo. I would have sold him, one at a time. Retail. How can you just get away with 49? Amar Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, we find a similar concept elsewhere. When it comes to, let's say, damaging a person's property, a person's produce growing in his field, you don't look at the actual value retail-wise. You look at the collective value of the collective entity and how much that collective entity, that broader entity, was reduced as a result of this particular hezek damage that took place in a specific facet of that broader entity. That's the halacha we learned back in Bava Kamma. Remember, shaman base saba is a sada. So let's say the animal ate off a saa, a huge amount of produce. We don't look at the value of that saa per se. It's going to cost you a lot of money if you look at it retail. But you look at the larger entity, at the whole sada, and we say, okay, how much was the sada reduced in price due to this damage? So since we find that we apply these types of leniencies, we look at it more like a wholesale type of deal when it comes to compensations. So likewise, in our case, and this is learned from a pasuk, so the same in our story, we don't require full payment. Rather, we look at it as a sort of wholesale deal, and he only pays back 49. But when it comes to hegdish, we're more strict. We up it to the retail value, and he has to pay 50. Tanan. Okay. Now, Lemeimer does suffer Shmuel. Do you mean to say that Shmuel, who proposed this, who taught us this halacha, will hold that din hedyot, the laws pertaining to a commoner, lav kedin gavoya dami, doesn't really equate to laws pertaining to hegdish, which are more strict. At Tanan, we have a Mishnah, which seems to put them both in the same wavelength. Notal even oikoyra me hegdish. Right? So let's say a person took, and Rashi says, based on the Gemara Chagiga, we're speaking about a gizbar, administrator. So he's in charge of the construction material there in the Hegdish. He took a stone, not al even a koiro or a beam from Hegdish. So at this point, Mi'ilo was not yet committed because basically his taking is not really taking away from Hegdish because he is tasked with administering, with looking, overseeing the Hegdish material. So when he takes it, it's still within the Hegdish realm. Okay, so far so good. Loimal, Mila has not yet been committed, but if he hands it to a friend, Nisamal Chaveroi, oh, that's a true diversion. Hu mal, so the Gizbar has now committed Mila Chaveri Lemal, but the fellow who took it didn't really do anything wrong. The Gizbar gave it. He's the one who diverted. Okay, bottom tech base. So now let's say the gizbar put the piece of wood or whatever on top of his skylight to black out the rains. So he has not yet really changed the form of the. He hasn't really modified the material. So at this point, loimal, he hasn't yet committed meila. It's as is until he actually benefits from the. Board blocking the skylight. Ache yidor tachteh b'shava pruta. He sits there under the rain and he benefits from it, at least a pruta worth of benefit. Okay, so that's the halacha we learn in Maseches. Maseches Mila. Okay? V'yosef rabavo kamed rabbi Yechon. Shavo is sitting in front of Rabbi Yechon. V'yosef v'kam shmei the Shmuel. He was quoting Shmuel as follows. Zayusei meres. Interestingly, you see, even though this fellow benefited from the Hegdash material, but it was Shalemi Das. The Hegdash was not informed. They weren't so-called aware of the fact that he was doing this, right? And, he used it, and Hegdash didn't really lose anything from it. He didn't modify the material. He didn't make them lose anything. And he's responsible. Zois Emeris, we will conclude from this Mishnah, that likewise, in a non-Hegdish setting, you're responsible for benefiting from the other person's property, even though the other person had no clue. He never stipulated that you're going to have to pay. He didn't lose anything. Zoi say meres hador v'chotza chaver shlami daita. If a person resides in another person's property without telling him, and Rashi explains, the property was not really a rental property. It was not. He didn't lose any money by me sitting there. Sorech lahalos v'schar. It doesn't matter. I have to pay him the rent, just like in this case. You have to pay back. You have to pay compensate Heglish for using their material, even though it wasn't really meant to be rented out. It wasn't meant to be, right? And the fact that Shmuel himself compares Hedye to Hegdish, we learn one from the other, indicates that we view them sort of on the same level. We don't say, well, yeah, maybe Hegdish is different. There you have to pay, it's Mila, totally different, you know, set of rules, and you can't compare it to a Hedye. No, Shmuel compares the two. Despite the fact that when it comes to the story with the dates over there, Shmuel considers Hegdish on a totally different level than Hedjit, more strict and incomparable. Says the Gemara, Hader be Shmuel me'ahi. There's a guess on there. So in any case, the Gemara's response is, no, Shmuel canceled that halacha. You can't compare. Hegdish has a higher standard, is more strict, and of course you can't compare Hedjit to Hegdish, which is in line with our sugya. It's two things, you know, incomparable. Says the Gemara, umimai de'mahi hader be. Now, basically, we have sort of a contradiction here, an hour sugya with the dates. You know, we differentiate between Hegdish and Hedit, and in terms of the Mi'ila Halacha, we compare them. So evidently, one had to be cancelled, right? Shmuel was Chayzer, he reverted, he backtracked from one of those points, either the one with the dates or the one over there. How do you know which one he backtracked from? Umi Mai Hadarbe, Dilma Meha Hadarbe. Perhaps Shmuel canceled the halacha in our sugya, and he did consider it a fair comparison when you compare Hedya to Hegdish. Says the Gemara, Loi. No, Me'ahi Hadarbe. I'll prove to you that it was the other halacha that he backtracked from. Right? That really, no, Hegdish is a totally different entity. You can't compare Hedya to Hegdish. Kid the Rav, as Rav says, Dama Rav Hegdish Shleimi Das. When you take something from Hegdish, even though you haven't really informed anybody, right? But Hashem knows. Hashem is aware of that diversion. So that changes the whole equation. It's Kehedya to Midas Dami. It's as though you took something from your friend knowingly, meaning with full awareness. With the victim knowing that he took it. So that would explain why the fellow who took the Hegdish material committed Me'ila, because it wasn't like he was living in his friend's property without telling the other, you know, the owner. Doing it without the owner's awareness. It was with full awareness. Hashem knows. Hashem says, if you take the Hegdish property, you have committed Me'ila. So of course you have to give, you have to pay. You're responsible. As opposed to moving into your friend's property without informing him, perhaps it's a totally different thing. And in that case, you don't have to pay for it. So we're proving that Shmuel backtracked from that halacha. You can't compare Hedya to Hegdish. And now we can go back to our story with the dates and just stick with it, basically, that, yeah. You know, you owe more to the Hegdish than to the Hedyot, because Hedyot you pay only wholesale rates, and Hegdish you pay the more expensive retail price. So again, we had a story with the fellow who stole the dates, and Shmuel tells us that if it's a Hedyot you pay 49, if it's a Hegdish you pay 50. The question was, so you mean we differentiate between Hegdish and Hedyot? So why, when it comes to the unauthorized use of material or property, we compare the two? Shmuel backtracks on that halacha, because really you can't compare the two stories there, because the reason why he'll have to pay the Hegdish in that case is because it's considered midas. as opposed to you know, a fellow using a hedyot properly where there's no das. So you can't compare the two. So basically, we cancel that whole equation, and our halacha stands. Amar Rav, hani shakuloi. You have these workers, these porters, the tavru chavisa dechamra lechanvah b'yamid shuka. So they were transporting some barrels of wine belonging to a merchant. They crashed it, they broke it. How much do they pay? Now, the item has two potential values. When it comes, when it's brought to the market on whatever, on the market day, it's sold for $5. Typically, on a regular day, it's sold for $4. So how much, what is the true value of this item? What do they have to pay? So it depends when they're coming to make up. Let's say they come back with still some time remaining in anticipation of this market day. So basically, he'll have the ability to sell it at the marketplace. He won't have to take that loss. So now they just give him back a barrel. Take the barrel and sell it for $5. Right? But let's say they're coming on a regular day, when it's already, you know, past the market day, right? So now they have to give him the full $5, which he could have sold it for at the marketplace. Mahadru le chamish, have to pay him $5. V'leya marn ella lehav le chamer lesbuni. When do we require them to pay $5 because they caused him that loss? That's when he didn't have other supplies of wine to sell on the market day. So basically, it caused him a loss because he would have sold this. He would have sold this item if he would have had it. But let's say he had other wines to sell. He should have sold the other wine. And the fact that he didn't indicates that he wasn't really planning on selling. So now they just have to pay him a barrel of wine, despite the fact that it's only worth $4. Right? But if he had other wine, you should have sold that wine. In fact, they didn't. In the case that he wasn't planning to sell. Umanakile. Now, even when we require them to pay him $5, right, in that first case, but they still get some sort of deduction. The expenses that he would have incurred if he would have actually had to sell it at the marketplace. You know, there's their advertising, expenses, etc. Umanakile agar tircha. They deduct the amount that the tircha that they spared him, you know, the trouble of sitting there and selling it, you know, that's time and effort, right? And he was spared that effort because he didn't have to sell it. So he gives them that deduction. Would make Barzanai nice on the advertising expenses as well, which he saved because he wasn't actually selling it at the marketplace. Okay, let's recap today's daf. You send the item with an eved, right, to the borrower upon his instructions. Mishnah says it's chayev. Why? So Shmuel says it's an eved ivri. Rav says, was speaking that he just said, let it go and I'll take responsibility. We have the halacha of borrowing a kardom, an axe. The Gemara brings rayis, not like a rafuna. Basically, as soon as he takes possession, even before using it, he's fully responsible and the owner cannot recall the item. And we concluded with the halacha of Shmuel, with the dates. We had a kasha from Me'ilah, which we answered. And Rabbah's halacha regarding the true value of the broken barrel of wine. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.